Well, there's been a few discussions in the last few weeks about what could be, I suppose, the new rush for minerals in South Africa. I'm talking about what are referred to as critical minerals. They're used often in devices and mechanisms that generate power. So think of the critical minerals in things that we would use to generate power and thus decarbonize power, move away from coal. It also means, though, we'll be mining in places we haven't mined in before. And that brings a whole new host of discussions and communities and people that must be involved in these processes. Bolelwa Mabasa is the director and head of land reform at Worksmans. Bolelwa, good evening to you. We've heard on the Money Show before in the last couple of weeks, we're going to see a lot more mining in places that we have not had mining before. What kind of discussions will mining companies have to have with the communities of people who are living in these areas, who would have no idea yet that actually people are going to want to come there and mine there?
Yeah, it's actually quite an interesting phenomenon. And I think that it is quite an ironic situation. So if you recall, the former TBVC states were kind of so-called the black spots. Those were places where the national party government thought that they were going to send black people to these places that where land is not arable and where it has no value. But in a turn of events, I think quite fortuitously, those places now happen to be ripe for mining in the critical mineral space, as you say, and also in the renewable energy space, because this is where we're finding the abundance of wind, abundance of sun, solar, and of course with these critical minerals. So what this means is that South Africa as a country was never surveyed in a way that these areas were envisioned to produce what we're seeing now in this manner of critical minerals. So we find that in most, in land where these minerals are being discovered, are your kind of your communal land, typically that has traditional leadership sometimes, or if not, it's just simply not surveyed. And so that brings an interesting interaction between formal economy in the sense of mining on the one hand, and also now having to interact with a rather informal sector of people who might not even have the, tenure rights in the formal sense. So it is this very interesting interaction on how to now collaborate those two kind of phenomenon in entering into this new era of new discoveries.
I mean, it reminds me a little bit of the current court challenges around the Ingonyama Trust. Traditional leaders play a big role in this, but they obviously don't get to make the final decision on whether someone mines in a community where people are already living. I mean, it's quite complex.
Absolutely. In fact, traditional leaders play a very important part in their communities. They're the custodians of culture. They're the custodians of mediation. And for a lot of the progressive traditional leaders, they also want to see development in technology, such as surveying and using all sorts of, new methods in making sure that their land is valued and surveyed. But that certainly does not mean that mining companies can simply have discussions with the traditional leadership and walk away. The existence of traditional leadership does not mean that communities must not be engaged in a direct way. So we're finding that this also, is also an opportunity to educate communities, but also traditional councils across the country around the importance of obtaining engaging communities directly and meaningfully, and trying to inculcate a culture of mining that is inclusive.
Is the law very clear? Is it clear enough? Let me put it like that. On how consultation in communally owned areas would work?
The law keeps developing. Let me give you an example. So we have, for example, in the minerals legislation, requirements for public consultation with the landowner if someone has a mining right wanting to mine on land. But the courts have progressively assisted us in interpreting what that meaningful engagement looks like. You'll recall in cases like Ekolobeni, for example, which was a shell case that dealt with the exploration of gas, that the court there kind of raised the standard for the kind of consultation that's needed. So in other words, it is incumbent upon mining companies to find out who are the interested and affected parties in an area. There may be groupings such as cultural people that want to exercise their cultural rights, religious rights, and so forth. It doesn't stop and end with, for example, NGOs that are promoting the interests of the environment. So the standard for engagement has definitely been heightened and deepened in order to ensure that all manner of different communities are, in fact, engaged in a meaningful way.
Bulewa Mabasa, thank you very much indeed. Director and Head of Land Reform at Worksmans.
Partner with us and discover how we use